Mike Sutherland here from the Bryan City Council. I appreciate you being here this morning.
My pleasure.
We've talked, obviously, the first thing that's been out front most recently has been the traditions plan contract that was signed on by the City of Bryan with the developers of traditions. You had some pretty serious concerns that you had numbers that were different than the city was putting forth. Where are we with that?
Well, after the 26th council meeting, Councilman Pena and I were beat up pretty heavily on that. So we took that very personally, because our review of this project, it's a project, it came from a citizen being concerned about what's going on, how much money's been spent. Mm-hmm. And he was concerned that in the contract there's 50 acres given for a dollar. And right now, that's worth about $13 million. We just sold some property for $570 a square foot. So what we plan to do is...
But the idea is a piece of land that is completely undeveloped and surrounded by undeveloped land is different than a piece of land that has some development on either side of it. So we're doing a little bit of apples and oranges. If you say a dollar for the 50,000 and we did this much, 50 acres. Then we did this per foot. So two different contexts.
No, that 50 acres is right in the middle of the development. It's right there.
All right.
It may have to have a bridge across the creek, but it's there. It's valuable property.
Okay. So let's move. All right, I don't want to stop you. I want you to go ahead and continue with your...
Let's do this, since you're concerned about that. If I work for you and you got $5 million worth of property, and you ask me to sell it for you, and I sell it for $1 million, did you make $1 million or lose $4 million?
Okay.
Okay.
Right. But we also look at what we do that are inducements that move on. I think, would you be in agreement that what they did with the development of Walmart on the west side was a good thing to do? The abatements that were given there to the developer of the shopping center? Why not?
Because that was going to come anyway.
It was, but it changed the timeline.
So what?
Well, if it moves faster and you get rooftops faster, then you do end up getting more property.
But it hasn't done that yet. It hadn't got the rooftops faster.
This is also part of the development on the west side. Now that we know where the Blinn campus is, we know the things that can happen. Health Science Center's right there. There's some new land that's just been rezoned commercial. Right. So it is part of a development picture. Right. It's a whole thing rather than the one individual thing.
I guess my fundamental question is, at what cost? That's where I'm going to, because you're spending the taxpayers' money, and some things are going to happen naturally, and other things need help, but some things you don't need to put your money into, because it's going to come anyway.
So
because Bryan's got a tremendous requirement for infrastructure repairs, like the rest of the country, mm-hmm. and that's being neglected. I mean, we've caught up some in the last 10 years, because the two council members on there now especially have been hounding about it, and I have too, but that's got to be taken care of.
I want to go there in a minute. Let's finish up right here. So now... There's the thought there
finish
needs
up
to
on what?
Needs traditions? To be the numbers that we're talking about on traditions,
okay.
Right? Yeah,
okay.
that the idea of you said it was X and the city said it was Y, and so are you to the point where you have talked to staff and you've learned more and you feel differently about it?
No, we're fixing to do that. That's the next step. The next step for Councilman Pena and I is to sit down with the staff, get all the raw data, and go through that and see where we are. Now the problem is the accounting system. I was surprised the mayor said he didn't understand it, because we've been dealing with it for a very long time. The accounting system for the government only accounts for one budget year, and it's focused on your budget and what you put in the budget and that you didn't overspend, because it's against the law to overspend. But it doesn't account for a project. That's fund accounting, meaning if I spend $1 million in one fund, it may not necessarily be costed against the project that we're working on.
Okay.
So there's a lot of costs that are for the traditions project, but they aren't counted in the way the accounting system
is because
done.
It will benefit other areas beyond just traditions.
No,
is that not fair?
No, that's not fair, because the water department, for instance, can put a line in for the wastewater to come from the sewer treatment plant back to the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that benefit? The golf course. That cost $2.6 million. That wasn't accounted for anywhere.
Okay. Now, after we do this meeting when's the meeting with the staff take place?
Well, I got to set that up. Mary Lynn's going to have to help me.
Do it while you're here?
She's a day together.
We can do it while we're here.
But we're going to do it very soon.
All right.
And what I want to do is I want to go through everything I can get my hands on, because there's the way the costs are set up is that the traditions cost are in the TERS, and that's what's generally reported. But there's also costs associated with the TERS and traditions that are around the project but aren't in the TERS. Okay, and then there's money that's spent by the staff sections that are just in their in their budget that aren't contributed to the TERS or the Traditions Project. So you got to see where you are. You got to know how much money we spend. I mean, that's a good business practice, see where you are. And so you got to accumulate all those. Those aren't together right now. That's what we'll have to get together.
Bottom line, the project at Traditions,
yes, sir.
The development that's gone on,
yes, sir.
Has that been worth it to the city of Bryan? Has it been good for the city of Bryan?
From what standpoint? From the financial standpoint, or from
now and in the future? I mean, anything a city does.
Well, if my preliminary numbers show no, because what I've got from the staff in one of the council meetings is a report on cash in. Cash in is $66 million. The project cost we've accumulated so far with all the stuff around there is about $74 million, maybe $75 million. Now, that's our numbers. That's my numbers. Not been audited by anybody, but they're going to be. We're going to get those done. And so what are we making? I looked at the CAFR, which is the audit that they talked about that's done on – I want to go into that too. The audit that's done on all the city finances. And I looked at that, and that showed over a 10-year period that the city collected $1.6 million. Property taxes. Okay,
gotcha.
So
okay.
$66 million, $74 million, 1.6. You know, those numbers are not
a good ROI.
They're not good for me right now.
Okay.
So, but maybe that's going to be better when we get the exact numbers. Okay. And then the CAFR, there's a lot of credibility hung on the audit report that we do annually. But the audit report does not look at the whole project. They just look at year to year. And as a matter of fact, The only audit mention of Traditions Project in the audit is that there's approximately $22 million of infrastructure out there. Approximately? What kind of audit is that?
Okay.
So they don't do an audit there.
Can you be happy with an audit that's done within the city of Bryan, or do you have to have an outside audit?
Well, because of the way that meeting was conducted on the 26th, I think somebody from the outside that has no connections, no influence by anybody else, has to do it.
Okay, that's why you're on here today, so you can say
right.
that, so you can tell us what your misgivings
now,
are.
Now, and I've had people volunteer now to help me do an audit. Some people volunteered that $4,000 that the city manager talked about was pretty out of line, because you can't bet your employee about work that he does. You know, so I never heard of that. But in any case, but I've had people that offer to pay for that, and I've had other auditors or CPAs offer to review what I've done, because this is very controversial. Nobody's going to step into it and say, hey, we're going to vouch for you, or we're going to certify what you did. So anyway.
All right. So those people who believe that Mike Sutherland is against all development, all TERS, everything like that,
okay.
I'm giving you your opportunity now. Actually, you have something that you brought up that was important to you.
Yeah. Now, this is not about economic development to
right.
me. This is about a business proposition that you need to check. In my businesses, I checked every 6 months on what I was doing, and I found some stuff that we needed to change, so we corrected it. In the military, they do it every year. You know, I don't understand how things can go this long without being checked.
Okay,
but,
so let's
okay,
talk.
So what
ahead.
Happened?
Yeah.
Okay, so we had a $200,000 study done over the St. Joseph Hospital initiated it, and it was about a health and wellness district. And so that was talked about, that was set on the table, and we need to work towards that. But there's no way to mechanism to make that work. And then some business owners along Briarcrest came to me, Don Ball, as a matter of fact, and said, Mike, he said, look, you know, we're losing there's a lot of vacancies here. We're not really building, we're losing. So we need to do something about that. So we met and started talking about it, and then we met with the St. Joseph people.
Okay. There's CHI St. Joseph.
Oh,
that's okay.
All right.
That's all right.
CHI St. Joseph.
There you go.
Tim Mottinger. We met with them and talked about what they were doing to figure out how what they were doing could impact the Briarcrest Drive. And we found out that we could grow that. They're going to grow anyway. They have to stay in place now by law, because
mm-hmm.
they can't have satellite offices or buildings now, or facilities. So they have to stay right there. So they're going to grow there. So they got 2,000 employees. If we can capture some of those people to live there and eat there and work when they're working there, that's going to be a boon for that area. Plus, it's going to be office space that can be occupied and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that got started. And then we started talking about funding it. You know, who's going to pay for it? So we don't want to raise the taxes, and we don't want to take from other parts of the town. So the TIF is a way to use the money that area creates to fund new things that are going on there.
Okay.
And it looks like that's got a great opportunity, great viable option.
Mike Sutherland here this morning. Let's talk now about some infrastructure, because where are the things that you see are the infrastructure things that need to be updated in the city of Bryan? Because a minute ago you were talking about how we have things that need to be done in the city. So let's get your thoughts there.
There's about on the books, there's about $500 million in infrastructure requirements. We have places in North Bryan where Mary Lynn used to live when she was a child. not too long ago. There's serious issues up there that people are having it backed up into their homes, and we know what the repairs are, but we can't afford to do them right now. So there's roads and without sidewalks. There's kids walking in the streets when it's raining and walking in the ditches when they're full of water. So there's a lot of infrastructure, things like that we got to take care of. And you can't – your town is not as good as you want it to be until the least are taken care of. And everything's got to look good. I mean, you can live in a mansion if you live in Marymount, but you're still judged in Bryan by how bad things are, the worst part of it.
Okay.
So we got to get it all up.
I'm asking every elected official who rolls in here about Dan Patrick. He, I think 3 weeks ago tomorrow, had a conference in San Antonio, lasted 5 hours. He had over 50 people testify about the option of tax rollbacks for citizens. If they feel like their property taxes are going up too much, have the opportunity to go to the polls and vote for a rollback. What's your thought as one elected official?
It's their fault. They set the system up. They require
Who's they?
The state,
okay.
The legislature. They set the system up so that the appraisal districts have to keep the prices up with the current market. And when you do that, I don't have to change. We don't have to change our tax rate because as a matter of fact, we've dropped it. Because when the prices go up and you get a percentage of it, your percentage goes up, and that's their fault. They need to correct that because until let's see, I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was like seemed like the mid 90s. Our values were way behind,
mm-hmm.
and so the state came in and said, "You got to." And they did it up in Robertson County. They were
right.
behind recently.
Right.
And they made them jack their prices up, and some of the homeowner prices went up 200%, and people were hollering and screaming.
Okay, as you need more things in the city, as things cost more, as the city continues to grow, what do you, as one member of council, say is the funding mechanism for that then?
Well, for us, it's property tax coupled with sales tax. So we can help ourselves by increasing the sales taxes. College Station gets more sales tax than they get property tax.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that option. We can increase that the retail operation to sell get more sales tax in. But the fundamental support for the city is that property tax, because that's you know what it's going to be, and you know if you don't change your tax rate, it's going to be up a little bit, 3 or 4%. So that helps you keep up with inflation.
Okay.
I know it's a heavy cost, but it's got to be done.
Well, again, you have to be the best city you can be with the taxes that you've
exactly
got. If you
right.
want a better city, then the taxes do
that's
have.
Right.
And College Station's finally taken that step. They have said, we're going to have to go up in taxes. Do you see that the time is nearby that the Bryan Council may have to look at that?
No, I think we're in very good shape.
Okay.
We're in very good shape. Right. But one of the things about that traditions thing I want to do is I want to make sure that the money spent there is worth it. I mean, that we're getting our bang for it. I mean, we're getting good return on it because we can use that money in other places. That's the problem I see.
Gotcha.
This is not about me against them or them against me. It's about where's the best use of the tax dollars. And the other thing about success, I know the mayor hit on how good the project manager was doing or the developer was doing. Well, the problem with that statement is that the people put in at least $70 million out there. The people's money is $70 million out there. Could you do a good project with $70 million? Plus, you got A&M next door here that's growing all the time. They're increasing their student population, and they're expanding all their programs. That's a wonderful combination of things to do business in. I mean, that's where it's coming from.
It's a good environment, that's for sure. What else is on your checklist today?
That's it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's all I was prepared for. I was just prepared for you.
Yeah, sure. We want to do the lunch thing, right?
Oh, yes. We are.
Lunch and Learn.
Lunch and Learn, February 18th. The first one is Numbers and Nachos, Municipal Finance 101.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is going to be March 30th, also 12 to 1 at City Hall. And it's going to be Economic Development, Bringing Home the Bacon. Was just talking to Mike Councilmember Sutherland, mm-hmm. a few minutes ago about we're going to be doing one on water, about water, because that's a big issue now, as
it
you
is.
Know. So that's coming up.
I'm the council rep to the water district.
Let's talk about that then for just a second, because, you know, there's some gray water out there. I'm not going to.
Okay.
We'll have that conversation, though.
Well, before I forget,
yeah.
Two things. Number one, it's my granddaughter's birthday today.
Well, you need happy to say birthday, happy birthday.
Ava.
Okay.
And the second thing is, when you have the mayor on here again to talk about traditions, let me be on here with him so we can be face-to-face. Please.
Well, we can work on having that discussion.
Right.
That works. The the water district thing, I didn't know you were the council rep on that. That's I'm kind of a geek and you get to water, so we could do a lot on that. But let's talk about the gray water here.
Okay.
Because that's part of what goes to traditions, but is that a revenue center for the city somehow?
Yes, it is.
And I'm not talking diverting that water that's going to traditions. Now I'm talking about there's more gray water
oh, yes,
obviously
yes,
than
yes,
that
yes.
out there. Right.
Yes, as a matter of fact, It's as simple as we can direct our water into the Brazos River and we can sell it downriver. There's people that can use it. There's rice farmers are going without water now mm-hmm. that they could use some of our water. And Councilman Pena and I put on the agenda, I don't know how long ago, about a year ago maybe, to look at markets for that water. It's marketable, but we're not marketing it. So it does have a value. As a matter of fact, I was looking at how much water had been used by Traditions. I'm sorry. In 14, they used 90 million gallons of water on the golf course. Well, the whole school system didn't use but 91 million gallons of water. And they have ball fields and all that kind of stuff that you can use that gray water on, too. So we could save ourselves some monies if we look at those kind of things.
I'm going to ask you to try to pull a number out. If you can't, just say no. But let's say Traditions continues to keep the water as you've got contracted.
Yeah.
The rest of that gray water from the city of Bryan, how much revenue do you think we would look at, and how soon could we really be in the black? Because obviously you got to get it down to the river, and that's going to cost some money.
The only reference I have in that regard is that we had an offer sometime back about $3 for 1,000 gallons. College Station sold to an oil company, recently made a contract with them for $3 million. I'm not sure what the gallons was, but I mean, there's quite a bit of water in it.
Okay, so there's money out there to be made.
And are to be saved. And the other thing is, because I'm on the water district, I understand that water is a shortage. It's always going to be a shortage. Unless you do something like recycle our gray water, we can even put it back in the aquifer after mm-hmm. it's purified some to try to recreate some increase in the level of the aquifer instead of just managing the decrease in it.
So are you going to have an agenda item soon, or do you have one already to see what you can do to sell some more gray water?
We already put it on there one time. That should be working. So after we get through with our review, then we'll get on that, too.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.